I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music from Tenali, the Royal Trickster at Northwest Children's Theater. It's one of the family plays we're going to talk about today. Portland is fortunate to have two thriving theaters for youth and families. First up, we're going to find out about Tenali, the Royal Trickster, and it's running till May 12th with Northwest Children's Theater's artistic director, Sarah Jane Hardy. She'll be joined by actor Ken Yoshikawa and musician Salmini Sengupta. And in the second part of the show, we'll hear from director Francisco Garcia about Diary of a Worm, Spider, and Fly at Oregon Children's Theater. It's opening May 4th through June 2nd. Stay tuned. It's Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio are Sarah Jane Hardy. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Ken Yoshikawa, first time on this show.
How's it going?
It's good. Good to have you here.
Thank
and
you.
Musician Salmini Sengupta, first timer.
Hello.
Good to have you. All from Northwest Children's Theater's production of Tenali, the Royal Trickster. And I want to welcome you all to stage and studio. So, Salmini, can you tell us just a little bit about this song that we're listening to, this music?
Yes. This is the Tilana. It is a joyful conclusion, finale to the program. It's a piece that's composed by the composer Balamurali Krishna. It is written in Ragam Kadanakudukalam and Aditalam.
Wow. Okay. So much history here. I love it. Thank you so much for doing that. It's a beautiful piece of music, too, and we'll probably play it at the end of the show since it's a finale, too. Sarah, you once again collaborated with choreographer and director Anita Menon to create this new show, right? And I was sad to hear she moved to California.
Yes, very sad.
I was very sad, but I'm glad she can still collaborate with you, and
yes.
I hope that continues.
That
right?
is the plan.
That
yeah.
is the plan. Because uh-huh. you've had two successful award-winning shows, The mm-hmm. Jungle Book and Chitra the Girl Prince, and this time you're tackling a beloved character. It's now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I did a little research.
Yes.
Fancy that. It's based on a poet, scholar, and special advisor to a royal court during the 1500s in India. And the name was Tenali Raman, right?
So, correct.
Oh, good. I passed. All right. So tell us about how this idea got sparked and how you started collaborating and making it into a play with dance and music.
Sure. After the success of Chitra, the Girl Prince, Anita and I were looking for another story to tell. And she started to, throw some ideas around. And the idea of Tenali, the Royal Trickster, or Tenali Rama really appealed to me because it was so, it centered child thinking in such an obvious way. Tenali is an original out-of-the-box thinker, and he doesn't use conventional wisdom or conventional educational wisdom in order to solve problems. And after so many years working with children, I think those kinds of characters appeal to them because they level the power playing field and give and really put that kind of imaginative, creative thinking that children are so good at front and center. And so to see an adult using those tactics to get to the bottom of, in this case, a mystery. But Tenali, there are dozens and dozens of stories that center around Tenali.
Well, Salmini, tell us, what is the place of Tenali, I guess, in Indian cultural history? Do you have some background on that?
So he was a minister in the kingdom of Vijayanagara. He was actually born in Andhra Pradesh, and he moved on to Karnataka to be a minister. And he has, Sarah Jane was just saying, he has done such beautiful works, not only in poetry, he has some published work as well, but he's also known for his witty stories, and a lot of the children learn from that.
Well, I like that, Sarah, that it is concentrating on thinking, and being creative. So much of a lot of, like folk tales or even right now what we have in movies are like superheroes,
yes.
And people who are larger than life. But this was a real person.
Absolutely. Yeah. And from what I've learned from Anita, some of the ministers, the more conventional ministers of the court, didn't always appreciate Tenali's original thinking. And yet he was one of the king's favorites because he came up with these original solutions to everyday problems and bigger problems. The story that we have at the theater now is an original play. with an original story.
What is the story?
It's about King Krishnadevaraya's crown that he creates goes missing. So it's a whodunit for children.
Ah, so a mystery.
A mystery, yeah.
Mystery, and that's good too, because then you're using your critical thinking.
Exactly.
I'm Dima Roberts, Stage and Studio, talking with Sarah Jane Hardy, and we'll be talking with Ken Yoshikawa too, and musician Salmini Singupta, and they're from the Tenali, the Royal Trickster play that opened just this last weekend at Northwest Children's Theater, and it's running till May 12th. Now, Salmini, you've worked with Anita Menon for a few years now, right? As a musician and a dancer, too?
That's right. I met Anita Menon in 2004, and I've learned dance with her. I've performed with her. Really a great person to work with.
Well, we heard some of the music, so how would you describe the music for the rest of the show?
So the play...
First off, what do you play? You're a musician.
I play the Natvangam, that's the Indian term for it. It's a cymbals that is used to guide the dancer through all the steps that they have to walk through.
Yeah.
And that's a relatively new learning for me from Anita as well. But I've performed dance for several years. Like I said, when I moved to Portland, I met Anita and started working with her. Wonderful creations.
Oh, so you're going to be on stage, though, performing.
We will be doing music only. I'm doing only music in this show.
Well, and so would you describe the rest of the music then?
Yes. So the piece starts with this is a very groundbreaking creation in melding music, Carnatic music, with dance, with theater. If you see how they've all come together, we start with the music accompanying the dancers, but actually displaying something in the play as a procession, which is a part of the play. So we use the music we use is the malari, which is traditionally used for processions. And in this case, the king comes into the court and he's auditioning the dancers. So we've built here the music that goes for the dancers with the dancers performing for the king in the court itself, right? For the audition.
Well, that sounds so joyous. I loved Chitra last year, and it was joyous. It was a celebratory. With music and dance and the story. Are we expecting the same kind of energy, Sarah?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a fast-paced... Okay. Avantika Shankar, who was the playwright for Chitra the Girl Prince, also wrote this play for us. She actually just left to return to India yesterday. And she really has nailed it. It's funny. It's witty. It's got some heart. It's zany. It's unexpected and very joyful.
How long does the play run?
I mean, it's an hour.
It's an hour.
From start
so
to finish.
It's perfect for families.
And the live musicians, we have, I think there are six people in the orchestra, youth and adult musicians.
Did you have live music before?
We did not.
I didn't think so. I think this is the first time.
Yeah. And the rehearsal process that I've witnessed is very different than the Western musical rehearsal process that I'm used to.
What's the difference?
I think that there are different rules associated, or guidelines, still not sure, associated with which music can be used when. So, for example, the thalana that we use at the end of the play is specifically for that closing dance. And I know that we have a finale in musical theater, but there are no real rules guarding what that is. And then also how the music is, the way that music is written down is different. The annotation is different, and the rehearsal processes themselves. Normally with Western musical theater, the musicians drop in 3 days before we open.
Well, I love hearing you speak about each of these productions, because it sounds to me that you're really so open to learning
new things. That's the best part.
Especially when it's a cultural piece that from not your own culture. You know?
Absolutely.
So, and that's what we need to be. You know,
absolutely. And we get to put the kids that are experts in that field, they get to lead.
Yeah.
You know, the youth musicians and the youth dancers in this show, they really get to kind of guide some of the adults.
Well, let's talk to one of the actors, Ken.
Hi.
Ken. I mean, this is your second time performing, right?
Third time.
So were you in The Jungle Book too?
No, I was in Chitra the Girl Prince, and then I was recently in Mary Poppins.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Okay. So what character do you play this time, though?
I play the Minister of Coin.
And how would you describe
I would say the Minister of Coin is a highly mathematical, bumbling fool who is one of three ministers to, aside from Tatacharya, who is the head minister, and of course Tenali.
Are they kind of foes to Tenali then? Because if people didn't really like him in the court.
Amicable rivals.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see that. And that could be a lot of fun too.
Yes. We're kind of three stooges. It's really, it's a fun time.
Yeah. Well, last time with Chitra, you got to do some dancing. Do you still get to do some dancing?
Yeah. well, the whole cast gets to do the grand finale together, and so that's where, I mean, essentially everyone dances.
Oh,
so,
good. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how, you know, I would imagine working on this show from a non-Asian, I mean, non-South Asian perspective,
sure.
you know, is a chance to learn,
absolutely.
Right? The Indian dance and the culture, right?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Well, for when I was Arjun for Chitra, I was pretty self-conscious until, like, the Bengali community themselves, they were really supportive.
Yeah, what was that? What was that?
I would say, support. Well, because I'm Japanese and I don't right. have really any experience with South Asian culture, I was very insecure that I was, you know, stepping into this role and at that time. And so then they were really supportive and they said, hey, you did a really good job. And I was always open to hearing whatever feedback that they might have. And that's kind of part of the process, is being humble and listening and just, you know, following the wisdom of the culture itself.
Well, so many. So when you know, the Bengali community or when the South Asian community sees non-South Asians performing, is there more of an embrace of that? In, you know, I'm just wondering.
I would say so. It's always trying to assess, you know, is it right, giving inputs in terms of how to make it more realistic. I think you will see that, you know, collaboration going through.
I love that there's so much good positive feelings about this show. On a side note, Ken, I want to congratulate you because you on a couple of things. First off, you've been accepted for a solo show at Pan Asian Repertory Theater. Congratulations.
Right. Thank
what
you
is
very
the
much.
Show?
The show is called The Art of Fly Swatting.
Okay.
It's a series of spoken word pieces that I've connected through narration. And right now I'm putting it on its feet.
Yeah, that's so excellent. Yeah. I mean, I'm really happy for you because you've spent several years now doing a lot of spoken word. In fact, you just released another congratulations. You just released a CD.
Yes,
of
I
your
did.
Spoken word.
It's an album. There's no CD yet.
Well, that's true. I'm from old school.
Yeah.
CD.
It's on Bandcamp.
Because album
right now.
Sounds like a record. You know?
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But you are so right. So, how do people find out about that?
You can go to YoshikawaKen.
There you go.
.bandcamp.com.
And so, do you have like a small sampling you can do of your poetry?
I will. Okay, I'll read a poem called Quiver. It's the namesake of the album.
Okay.
It's the last one. Quiver, for the moonlight in our palm lines, a library of star signs, a chamber full of salt remembers each kindness, while true faults make maps for lost pilots who forgot how to stop. Not to hear and respond, but to listen and bond. That there's less at the top, but more in the silence. Take good note and file it, but more than just save it. To savor the feedback is lilacs to lay lines aligned by the facts. Hold back what reacts. When lost becomes labor, charm demons with violets to vapor. No matter what's happened, remember, there's still air here. No hope is vanity once put to action. Even if it's breathing, the physics remains the same in any language. Yumemi yumiya, aijo yokeruna. 今日の鏡の画面の我慢より空気の甘さに合わせ破ってもよろしい君が十分見ろ山の横にある200個の雲神あの優しい嵐やるこの悲しみ洗うため So let it. I'm talking in my sleep because my heart speaks Japanese. And I believe in you like I believe in gravity, which means I don't understand, but I know you're there to watch my step, though I may still fall, but your soft eyes accelerate no problem at all, and I wake right next to you with a quiver full of moonlight and my gratitude. Arigatai. Good morning.
That was so lovely. And I hope that you do your solo show here, too.
I plan to.
Okay. Well, keep us posted on that. You can catch Ken and Salmini Sengupta in Northwest Children's Theater's production of Tenali, the Royal Trickster, through May 12th at noon and 4 p.m. All shows are at Northwest Children's Theater's, located at 1819 Northwest Everett Street in Portland, in the historic Northwest Neighborhood Cultural Center. And there's more info at 503-222-2190. Or nwcts.org. And you can get all that info and the links and the podcast at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And I'll put a link to your page, poetry on the Stage and Studio and pages. So for the show. In the time remaining, Sarah, I'm curious. Have you announced your next season by chance?
Yes, we have announced
our next
season.
Do you want to announce it here?
Yeah. In the fall, we have a pirate show called, oh, I know,
Yar.
How I Became a Pirate. And then for a holiday show, we're doing Roald Dahl's Matilda.
Oh.
Lyrics by Tim Minchin.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And then we're Anita and I are bringing back The Jungle Book. It's been four years. It'll be five by the time we do it. Yeah. And then we're rounding out the season with Seussical. We're also starting a tour next season for the first time ever. We're going to be touring out into the community with our production of Elephant and Piggy. We're in a play.
What is that? Can you say that title again?
Elephant and Piggy, We Are in a Play.
Oh, okay.
For the younger kids.
Is it like from a book then?
It's from Mo Willems books.
Oh, I don't know. So
he's wonderful.
Fun.
He's a Sesame Street writer turned storybooks for kids. It's
and
fantastic.
I'm assuming everything's still at the Northwest Cultural Center.
Everything is, except for that show, which is going to go on tour. So we're headed out to Salem and Hillsborough and Vancouver and Gresham. Very excited about
that. Okay, because last we talked, you were, you know, wondering about the building and everything. Everything good?
Everything's good so far.
I mean, the way things are going with Portland, you know, with venues.
Yes, yeah. So far things are good. We have one more season after this on our lease. And
oh, okay.
We are working hard on securing an event. Venue, yeah.
You're good. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, thank you.
Not so with a lot of other folks, but sometimes, you know, you have to ask. And I'm so glad you're doing, you know, these cultural collaborations with artists of color. Do you think you'll branch out to and do more of this?
In fact, we started a new play development plan next season. We're going to be developing three new works, one with Nilda Reyes and Rodolfo Ortega,
good.
Another one with Marilyn Keller and Ezra Weiss, and then I'm hoping a third with Anita. So we're going to workshop and develop those materials with a view to future production at Northwest Children's Theatre or elsewhere.
Yeah, because it seems to be working out.
It really
well.
Has yeah. been, yeah. I mean, artistically, just it's the core of my being these days, artistically.
Does anybody have any final words to say about Tenali? Like, you know,
I would say it's a fantastic opportunity as an actor of color to be on stage with such a diverse cast and such earnestly, I guess, literally radical that goes directly into the community, like in a root, you know, production that honors that. So that's amazing.
Yeah, and to me, the groundbreaking, you're bringing Carnatic music, dance, theater all together and giving a story that children will enjoy and appreciate is a great opportunity.
Because there aren't that many opportunities for South Asian theater, is there?
That's right. This is the first time we're bringing it all together. Anita and Sarah Jane have put it together. Mm-hmm. Great.
Because I can't think of very many other venues that would do that or other theater companies.
Mm-hmm. Although I don't know why, because it's really fun and everybody appreciates it who comes.
Are you still having samosas at the show?
We do have samosas.
See, that's the thing. It's like, that's, people don't realize that's a selling point. You know, where can you go to, you know, for concessions and get a samosa? Hello? Northwest Children's Theater.
That's right.
That's where you can. So, I don't know. Just for, you know, a shout out there, because I'm so happy about that, you know, because it's like it brings it all together.
It does,
you know?
It does,
because food and culture and art, all that
absolutely
goes together. Yeah, well, that's so great. It's so good to have you here again, Sarah Jane Hardy, Ken Yoshikawa, and Saumini Sengupta, all from Northwest Children's Theater's production of Tenali the Royal Trickster. And I want to thank you all for joining me today. It's so good to have this conversation with you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have director Francisco Garcia from Diary of a Worm, Spider, and Fly at Oregon Children's Theater after this short break. I'm Dimae Roberts. We just heard music by Pink Martini. It was Hang On Little Tomato. And you can find out more at pinkmartini.com. With me, via phone, is Francisco Garcia. Are you there, Francisco?
Yes, I'm here, Dimae.
Hi. I just thought, you know, the tomato would be apropos because your show has insects in it. So, So this is your second time directing for Oregon Children's Theater. What's it like to create youth theater, especially as a father yourself?
A lot of my experience in the last couple of years directing has been working for theater of young audiences. I've directed a wide variety of shows for different theater companies here in Portland. And even though I get hired to direct in other mediums, I feel that theater for young audiences is really kind of where I found my niche And I've been working with Oregon Children's Theater now for a couple years as a teaching artist and as a director. And so when I was, given the opportunity to direct this musical, I kind of jumped at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that there's only two companies that really do that around here. And you've directed really hard-edged plays for other companies, too. And yeah. I was just wondering, are there different approaches? I mean, how do you approach a play that's intended for young audiences and for families?
Yeah. It depends on the type of show it is. If it's a touring show, I'm approaching it in terms of what's the venue going to be like? If they're going to be going to different schools, is it something that can kind of be accessible for spaces? And, and based on the script, and obviously you want to be able to hold the audience's interest. And now in a situation like this, where for Diary of a Worm, Spider, and Fly, we're in the Newmark Theater, which is a gigantic theater. We have almost...
It is a huge theater. I know. Yeah. I was surprised it was at the Newmark.
Yeah. We have almost 900 seats. So we have more space to work in, and in this we have a choreographer and a musical director, and really looking at obviously the storytelling, but then the whole spectacle of it and how everything kind of fits together with sound, with music, with lights, and how we can keep the action going. And luckily this musical, even though it kind of encompasses many different styles of music, we have boogie woogie, we have jazz, we have kind of the more traditional musical standards, it really is rooted in rap and hip-hop, and that's one of the things that kind of excited me. I was excited when I was given the script, so it's kind of looking at that, and then also the choreography plays a huge part in it, especially since with the different styles, and particularly the rap and the hip-hop, I think that it's something that, even though it's intended for younger audiences, I think anyone that comes and sees it is really going to kind of be just blown away by the way it looks.
Well, I want to talk about the spectacle in a second, but tell us the story of Diary of a Worm, Spider, and Fly at Oregon Children's Theater.
So it's based on a series of books, Diary of a Worm, and Diary of a Worm, Spider, and Fly is actually three separate books, and they kind of combine them to tell this one story. I first heard about it when Stan approached me about it, and then I asked my daughter, who's 8 years old, what do you know about these books? And she's like, oh, yes, I love those books. We read them. And then she actually brought a copy of the books to me the very next day to look at. So we sat down and we read through them together. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is something that really interests me. And in terms of what it pulls from the stories into the show, it's really a coming-of-age story in terms of, these growing challenges that children face, finding your voice, growing up with that fear of having to leave childhood, and then, trying to embrace those traits that make us unique and our relationship to our community and how these traits can be a benefit to our community. It hits on a lot of topics, but overall, I would say it's a coming-of-age story for children.
Well, you mentioned Stan, who's Stan Foote, the artistic director of Oregon Children's Theater. But, earlier I had asked you, what's the difference in approaching a play for young audiences? And one of them, you just said right now, you went to your daughter for research.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was charming. What do you know about this book? Would you tell me? And I bet she felt really great telling you about it, too.
Yeah, and I think about I go see children's shows as well, whether it's at Oregon Children's Theater or Northwest Children's Theater, and I always try to kind of gauge what the audience is thinking and what they like and what they don't like and what's kind of holding their attention. And so I try to put myself in their seat as well. And I talk to my daughter about it. We'll go see shows together afterwards, when we're driving back. We'll talk about, so what did you like? What were the things that kind of stood out to you? And I try to kind of remember those things when I'm directing as well.
That's so
and,
great.
And how we can hold the audience's attention. Yeah.
How old is your daughter?
She's 8 years old.
So it's perfect for this play. Yeah. So
it really is.
The play, since it's about insects, I imagine, we talked a little bit about spectacle. I mean, imagine the costuming and the dance and all of that has to take center stage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of musical numbers, but I have such a great artistic team on this. Jeffrey Childs, who is my musical director, Kemba Shannon, who is my choreographer. I mean, it's really the three of us working together to kind of bring this to life. And then, of course, great costumer, Jenny Ampersand and Jennifer Lynn, my lighting designer, Phil Johnson, my sound designer. So you know, it really is. And when I work, I really kind of like to have a diverse group of not just actors with me, but designers, because it really is kind of, I think it's important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're having a great time at Oregon Children's Theater, too.
Yeah, it's an exciting time in terms of the work that they're producing, and it's also, you know, Stan is leaving now, so
yeah. Well,
this is the last show of the season too, with Stan under as artistic
director.
That's
right.
So we really just want to make it really special.
Oh wow! Diary of a Worm, Spider, and Fly. Book, music, and lyrics by Joan Cushing, and directed by Francisco Garcia. The show opens May 4th and runs through June 2nd at Oregon Children's Theater. It is recommended for ages 4 and up. The runtime is 60 minutes. All shows at the Newmark Theater, located at 1111 Southwest Broadway in Portland. For more info, visit octc.org or call 503-228-9571, and you can email them at tickets@octc.org. Francisco Garcia, thank you so much for joining us today, and I guess, is it appropriate to say, break a spider leg? I don't know.
That sounds great. All right. Thank you.
You
so
take
much
care. Bye-bye. Before we go today, a shout out for a wonderful and important all-female production at Theater Vertigo. It's called A Dark Sky Full of Stars. The show runs through Saturday, May 12th at the Shoebox Theater, located at 2110 Southeast 10th Avenue. And there's more info at theatervertigo.org. I really encourage people to support women's productions. It's an all-female play, 99% female play, with including the creative team. So go see this play. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have this show online at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Like us on facebook.com/stageandstudio. So till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.